grace, mercy, peace, and Easter joy to you this morning from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this highest celebrations of the Christian year comes to us from God's Word in 1 Corinthians. I know in your bulletin it says 1 Corinthians 15:20, but as often happens when I actually start to write my sermons, it changes slightly. So I'm actually using verses 54 to 57 of 1 Corinthians 15, which should be very familiar to you. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us our victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thus far, the text. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Doesn't that make you happy just to say that? Well, you should look like that when you're saying that. He is risen indeed. All right. Let's try it again. He is risen. See what I mean? It works better when you smile, right? You're the only one in the entire world that's unhappy by that is Satan. He's the only one. He's very unhappy to hear that because he thought he had this thing in the bag. He thought he had won. He was celebrating and dancing with his minions for a while, you know, thinking it was all done. Friday happened, and Jesus was put upon the cross, and Satan began to rub his hands together, sensing victory was at hand. And with every passing hour, he sensed that the end was near. And then he hears Jesus from the cross say, "It is finished." And it sounds in Satan's ears like a concession speech. You know, like Jesus has given up. I'm done. It feels very much to Satan like he's won. And when Jesus dies and bows his head and gives up his spirit, there's a loud shout that goes up from hell as they celebrate and they dance. You and I know that was a little bit premature, right? You and I know they were celebrating a little early. A few years ago in the Winter Olympics, there was a downhill ski race for the women's. And it was the gold medal run. And there were 10 racers lined up at the top. And they took off. And one girl took off. And she was way out in front. And she got down through the course. And she was way ahead of everybody else. And she took the time to look back and realize just what a great lead she had. So as she came up over the last mogul and hill, she decided to celebrate her victory by doing a trick. Oops. She crashed and landed yards from the finish line, and the entire rest of the field skied right by her. She celebrated early. So it is with Satan. He celebrated prematurely. He danced and frolicked his way through Friday and even into Saturday. And then came Jesus' proclamation in his descent to hell. I have won. And as Sunday morning dawns and the finish line comes into view, Jesus has already crossed it. And victory belongs to him. Satan wakes this morning hungover and defeated from his partying. And we celebrate it. And we say, he has risen.
He has risen.
You better get used to that. That's going to happen a few times here, okay? The simple phrase that Christ has risen from the dead changes everything. Everything is different now than it was. Christ has risen, and all the doom and gloom and darkness of Good Friday are consumed by the light of Easter morning. You know, God tells us in John chapter 1, verse 5, that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. Nevermore has that been more true than this morning, this Easter morning. If you were here on Friday night for our Good Friday service, everything in here was quite different. You looked up here in the altar area. There were no flowers. It was completely bare. The altar itself had been stripped down Thursday night following our service, and all that remained on the altar for Good Friday was 12 black candles and one singular candle. The front of the altar was decorated not with white, but with black, as was the pulpit. The banner that hangs on the side of the church was a big black banner with red letters saying, "It is finished." Everything about this atmosphere, everything about this room on Friday was gloom and doom and dark. And by the end of that service on Friday night, by the end of our tenebrae, all the lights had gone out and darkness seemed to consume the place. Well, almost, right? Because right there, in the center of the altar, was that one singular candle. And it was still lit. And at the end of the service, as everything else was dark, that candle stood as a light, a beacon, a lighted promise of a day yet to come. That glorious step from tenebrae, that singular candle, promised us this morning. And everything has changed, hasn't it? You come in this morning, and the place even smells differently, right? I hope you took your allergy medications, right? The whole place is different. Flowers overflow in the altar. The aisle is lit up by candles and decorations. We've gone from black to white on the altar and the pulpit. We've gone from black and red to gold and yellow and white on the banner. Everything's different. Why? Because everything's different. Because Christ has risen from the dead. Easter changes everything. He has risen.
He is risen indeed.
You're getting better. Easter changes everything. You know the first thing that Easter changes is sin's hold upon you. Before Christ's death and resurrection, sin held you fast. You were enslaved to sin, bound to sin. But because Christ is raised, everything has changed. On Good Friday, Jesus paid the price for your sin. He died for your sin. But Easter and Christ's resurrection is the confirmation of God's acceptance of that sacrifice. Christ's death and resurrection go together for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. You can't separate one from the other. Paul had told us actually earlier in this very same chapter from 1 Corinthians 15 that if the dead are not raised, then Christ is not raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless and you are still in your sins. The resurrection was the necessary follow-up to the sacrifice of the cross. The resurrection of Jesus is God saying, yes, that was enough. Christ's sacrifice, his death, his blood shed was enough to forgive your sins. This is God's giant yes this day. But if Christ is not raised from the dead, if there is no resurrection, how can you be sure you're forgiven? You see, the resurrection is really the linchpin of Christianity. You take it away and nothing else really matters. The resurrection is like that one block in the Jenga stack, you know? The holding block. If you pull it out, the whole thing falls apart. So too for the resurrection with Christianity. If you pull the resurrection out of Christianity, all that remains of Christianity is a pile of moral code. And no certainty of salvation, no certainty of forgiveness, no certainty of how God feels about you. But thanks be to God, he raises Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, Christ is raised from the dead. And because of that, you can be sure that your sins are forgiven. Easter changes everything, and then it moves you from an uncertainty of forgiveness to an absolute certainty of forgiveness. For God has accepted Christ's sacrifice and given him life as the confirmation of it. Easter changes everything. He is risen.
He is risen.
Easter also changes the way we mourn. St. Paul tells us, we Christians do not mourn as the rest of the men who have no hope. The rest of the world, as they mourn, as they face death, are left with a definitive uncertainty. What now? If you've ever attended a non-Christian funeral or memorial service, you know this to be true. It is filled with, they were such a good person. They were a captain of industry. They were a loving father or husband, grandfather. She was a wonderful woman. All of that is well and good. But what? What now? They have no hope. A Christian memorial is different. A Christian funeral is different. Easter changes funerals for us because we have hope. We have victory. We have it through Christ. And while Christians are still sad at death, we still mourn because we have loss. Our mourning is somehow mitigated by Christ's death and resurrection. There is encompassing and overflowing and surrounding our mourning an eternal hope. Because Christ is raised from the dead, and the promise is made that if Christ is raised from the dead, then we too shall be raised from the dead. The perishable is swallowed up in the imperishable. The mortal with immortality. Death is swallowed up in victory, and that changes the way we mourn. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Easter changes the way we mourn. We will still miss those who have now passed on. We will still have sadness about death that occurs. But when someone dies in faith, when they die in Christ Jesus, there is hope. There is certainty that accompanies our mourning, that carries us through like nothing else can. And Easter does that. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Easter also changes the way you approach your own death. We may approach death with a confidence that isn't found in other people because we know our resurrected Lord. The approach of our death may still bring about for us fear because we simply fear the unknown. And it isn't the unknown of what happens after death. It's the unknown of the death moment, the death experience, and what that's like. So there's still within Christians a certain fear, a certain uncertainty about those moments. But Easter changes everything else. It shows us that through this, there's something grander, greater, more eternal. It gives to we who all will face death at some time, hope. Confidence as we approach death. We don't approach death with fear and trembling, for we know that we are saved. We know we have eternal life. How do you know that? You know it because Christ is raised. And if Christ is raised, he's the first fruits and you come next. God has promised. You need not fear your death. You may fear the moment. You may fear the experience, but you need not fear your death. For Christ has given you eternal life. And his resurrection is the certainty of it, the assurance of it. You could look beyond death to that which comes next. Life with God. And not just life with God in heaven. The resurrection of Christ in the flesh promises you even more. It promises you not only life with God in heaven, but as Christ returns, it promises you your own fleshly resurrection. A resurrection that will come when these feeble bodies, now beset by sin, will be raised immortal and glorious like Christ. without aches and pains, and 6'2". I'm sure that's in the Hebrew somewhere. But you'll be raised. Easter changes everything, and it changes our approach to death because we'll be in heaven, and it changes our approach to death because a time will come when we'll be raised in the flesh. Easter changes everything. He is risen. Finally, my friends, Easter changes even your daily life, your daily walk. Easter brings a steadfastness, a steadiness to our daily life that wouldn't be there without it. Easter gives us proper perspective on both the highs of our life and the lows of our life. The high points of our life, every birthday, celebration, wedding, anniversary, baptism, are that much sweeter. Because they're celebrated with others who know of the resurrected Lord, and they're a foretaste of the happiness to come. Every high point in your life is sweeter because you have a resurrected Lord. And the low points in your life, tragedies and difficulties, unforeseen circumstances, things in your control and out, are more easily accepted, are mitigated, even watered down because of the hope that is ours in Christ Jesus, because Christ is raised. I can get through whatever this is, these next days, these next moments, this suffering, because I know a time is coming when there will be no more suffering, no more tears, no more pain. That's what Easter does. When I was in college, I played soccer. And one of my least favorite activities was something called trains. And trains was when the entire team would line up in a line, and the back guy had to sprint to the front as the entire team was jogging around the field, you know. And depending on how we did in the game before was dependent on how long we did this little exercise. But I could always get through that because I know that the school had a rule that practice had to end at 5:30 so we could get to the cafeteria before 6. So no matter how long I had to endure this trains, it's not fun, I knew 5:30 was coming. So too for us in our lives. No matter what we have to face, no matter what we have to endure, there's a 5:30 coming. There's an eternal life that is ours. And we get through all this suffering, all this pain, because of that. That's what Easter's done. Easter's taken all of our pain and our sorrow, and it's given us an ability to deal with it because there's a promise of resurrection. There's a promise of eternal life. Easter changes everything. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
So there you have it. Satan's dance is over. Christ has triumphed. You are assured of the forgiveness of your sins. You are equipped to deal with mourning. You are equipped to face your own death with confidence. You are equipped for your daily life without worry about what tomorrow may bring. Why is all of this true? Because Easter changes everything. To God be the glory, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.